Hello, I am Neil Hughes Hutchings, Head of NAPTHEM's Health and Safety. I am back for another edition of my podcast. If you are unfamiliar with the format of my podcasts and blogs, then as a reminder, their purpose is to act as a starter topic for further discussion within your organisation, to assist with improving compliance, and to allow workers to understand the specific topic being discussed. Now, back in December, we experienced some very cold weather leading to many days of icy surfaces. Untreated icy surfaces can be a common source of slip hazards in the workplace. It can also present a significant risk to vehicle routes throughout your workplace. If you are a care home provider or care sector organisation, icy surfaces on your premises can also present a hazard to members of the public or visitors. The general duties under Section 2 of the Health and Safety at Work etc. Act of 1974 pose a duty to manage all hazards in the workplace. This would include snow and ice, and Section 3 of the same Act poses a general duty to non-employees as long as they are part of your undertaking. In addition, we also have the Occupiers' Liability Acts of 1957 and 1984 that create a duty to the duty holder of a building or premises to ensure safe access and egress to both visitors and persons other than visitors. We can also look further to Regulation 12 of the Workplace Health, Safety and Welfare Regulations of 1992, which details duties regarding the conditions of floors and traffic routes. Paragraph 116 of the approved Code of Practice to Regulation 12 specifically states, arrangements should be made to minimise risks from snow and ice. This may involve gritting, snow clearing and closure of some routes, particularly outside stairs, ladders and walkways on roofs. Snow and ice would be included in these duties. It is therefore important that the risks created from snow and ice are managed and that systems are in place to proactively manage an action when snow and ice risks may present themselves. This will help you to protect your employees and visitors on your premises. Let us think about your premises. It is important to note that when controlling risks, you must do what is reasonable. It is therefore a good idea to have a documented procedure in place as to how snow clearing and gritting operations are managed. For example, your policy should set out clear responsibilities. Consider, who makes the decision to clear snow or carry out gritting operations? When is that decision made? What threshold are you using? Do you use a certain temperature? Do you carry out an observation of the ground or area? Do you use a weather forecast? Do you record when snow or ice clearing operations have been authorised? Do you record when the person making that decision decides not to grit? Do you have a plan of the site to indicate which routes will be gritted and cleared? Do you prioritise certain areas to be cleared first, such as staff car parks, public car parks and main entrances? Do you have a safe system of work for the carrying out of snow clearance and gritting operations? Do you have the right equipment? Snow shovels, wheeled gritters, for example. Do those carrying out snow clearance and gritting operations have appropriate clothing and footwear? Do they have ice studs, for example, to prevent them slipping? Do they wear a high-vis vest if working on traffic routes, such as car parks? Do they wear warm clothes? Have you ensured the manual handling risks are considered from the lifting of gritting salt or emptying bags into wheeled gritters? As part of your procedure, it is prudent to consider that there may be occasions, particularly in bad conditions, where you may need to inform staff or visitors to only use a designated entrance or route. It is also prudent to keep a log of snow clearance and gritting operations. A simple log should detail the location treated, the date, the time, any observations or problems encountered by those clearing or gritting. Who carries out your clearance and gritting operations? Employees who carry out snow clearance and gritting operations must receive training. And as a guide, it should include the risk of harm, why snow and ice are a hazard, safe working methods for carrying out snow clearance and gritting operations, familiarisation of the equipment they will use, familiarisation and the correct fitting of personal protective equipment, how to clean the equipment once finished, the correct storage locations for the equipment, and how to report faulty equipment or concerns. Furthermore, records of this training must be kept. It is important that once an area has been treated or cleared, It should undergo periodic inspection throughout the day to check the effectiveness of the clearance or gritting so that you can decide if an additional application is required. Delivering another application later in the day will allow the grit to settle before any more overnight ice or snow form. It is important to also consider the entrances to your premises. Consider the risk of wet floors from people entering your premises with wet feet. You may have barrier matting securely installed to reduce the likelihood of snow, ice, and water being deposited inside your premises. You may also choose to display prominent wet floor signs. You should also periodically check for the amount of water on the floors inside your building and mop them dry as required. Every workplace is different, and so your approach to a snow and ice procedure should be proportionate. I thank you for listening, and goodbye.